Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Samach Vav in Masechet Shabbos, the 128th daf in Shas. We pick up on the last line on Samach Hei Amid Beis. Mishnah tells us, a new Mishnah, Hakiteya, someone who is Chas V'Chalila, someone who has a leg that is Chas V'Chalila been amputated, Yotze B'Kav Shelo can go out with the stump that's there to support the leg. Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Oser and Rabbi Yossi prohibits. Rabbi Meir views the stump as a tachshit, and Rabbi Yossi does not. V'mieshlo beis kibul, ksisin. If it has a thing that is described as a ksisin, if aside from serving as a stump, the kli that is used also has an area that is there to absorb and hold soft begadim that are there to protect the legs, tame, then it would be contrast tuma. Smucho shelo, the garments that are there to support the leg for the abrasions of the brace, tame in medris, contracts tumas medris. Medris, of course, is a tuma of where one sits on something or walks on something. If that item is designated or is normal to be used for that, then that would contract the avatuma of the individual itself. For example, as Rashi describes, if the individual is a zav, it will contrast that tuma. V'yotzim behen b'Shabbos, and one could go out with this on Shabbos. V'nichnasim behen ba'azara, and you could also go into the azara with them. Rashi explains that even though the Torah Kedoshah tells us, and it's described in Brachos, Daf Nundalid Amid Aleph, Lo Yichanes Adam Laharabais Biminolo, that a person is not supposed to go in with a shoe, Kisei Usmucho Shelo, the seat of a person who's handicapped, and his covers that are there to make things easier. Tamei and Medras, they contract the Tumah Medras, Vein Yotzim and Meshavis, but you can't go out with them on Shabbos, because those are considered a Masui. Rashi explains because they're not as needed as much as the others. In theory, the person would be able to move around without the Smuchos, would just be more painful, more uncomfortable, and that's not enough to be considered a tachshit, and it's different than the kabim, that he would absolutely be unable to move without those thumps. Vein mechaz me'mezara, you cannot take the wheelchair into the azara. Luktamin is a mask that Rashi explains, a mask that is used to entertain children, to dress up as a clown. Tahorin, that's tahor. It's not considered a kli tashmish or a tachshit. It's a object that's used to entertain, but it's neither a kli tachshit nor a kli tashmish. Ven yotze ben, but it would be carrying, therefore, on Shabbos if one wore it. The Gemara begins, six lines from the top, in Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Amar le Rav Rav Nachman, Heichi Tnan, where does it say in our Mishnah? What is the appropriate girsa of our Mishnah? Rashi explains that even though the girsa that we have in front of us, Hakite Yotze B'Kav Shelo Divrei Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir allows, and it says Rabbi Yossi Oser, that wasn't so clear to be the correct girsa amongst the Amoraim. Some thought that the appropriate girsa is Ein Hakite Yotze Rabbi Yossi Matir. So the question is Rabbi Yossi being the Matir, or is Rabbi Yossi being the Oser? Says Rav Nachman back to Rava, Amalei lo yadana, I don't know. Hilchus amai. Okay, so Rav Nachman responds that he doesn't have the appropriate tradition. So Rava now asks, but what would the halacha be? How do we paskin in regards to this shaila? Can a kiteya be yotze with his stump, or can't he? Amalei lo yadana. To that, Rav Nachman also responded, I don't know. Itmar amar Shmuel, eina kiteya. Shmuel learned, and that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma, while Rabbi Yossi will actually be the one that permits. In other words, when the Gemara says, Itmar Amar Shmuel Eina Kiteya, that means that the Mishnah should start off that the Kiteya cannot go out, while Rabbi Yossi is Matir. V'chein Amar Avuna Ein Kiteya. as well as the tradition of Rav Huna said had that was Ein HaKiteya. Amar Rav Yosef, Hal Vamar Shmuel Ein HaKiteya, Vamar Rav Huna Ein HaKiteya, Anan Nyami Nisni Ein HaKiteya. We will also learn that the appropriate presentation is that the Tanna Kamma says Ein HaKiteya. The Gemara continues with the Kasha. Now I continue recording Matzoi Shabbos Kodesh, the first night of Chanukah in front of the Neros on a clear, beautiful, slightly chilly night in Arzenu HaKadosha. If you hear some noise in the background, those are the sounds of Chanukah in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara continues. The Gemara just said that the appropriate girsa is Ein HaKiteya Yotze, according to the Tanna Kamma, while Rabbi Yossi is Matir. Maskiflo Rava Bar Shira, Lo Shemilu, Hodemasni Le Rav Chanan Bar Rav, Bar Rava Lechia Bar Rav, Kamei De Rav Bikituna, Devei Rav, Ein HaKiteya Yotze Bekav Shalo Devei Meir. The appropriate girsa was originally stated as Ein HaKiteya, according to the Tanna Kamma, Lefi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Yossi allows, which was, at first glance was consistent with what we had heard from Rav Huna and Rav Yosef. However, here's the kasha. Umachi le Rav Epoch, and Rav made a sign when they were saying this over. Rav said, no, you mixed it up. It should be Rav Meir who says that you can, and Rav Yosef says that you can't, which then would be a kasha Rav Huna, Rav Yosef. Amar Nachmar b'Yitzchak. The way to remember this correction that Rav had made, v'simana, and the simon is samach samach, that to remember Rav Yossi Oser, Samach Samach, that both in Rav Yossi and the word Oser has a Samach. And therefore, the appropriate way to record it is that Rav Yossi is the Oser, which, of course, is the Girsa that we have in our Mishnah as well. Says Gemara Vav Shmuel Haderbein, Shmuel was also Choser, Disnan, as we learned in a Mishnah. We know that Chalitza is when a Yavam, a potential brother who can marry his brother's wife, who did not have any children, decides not to do the mitzvah, chalitza is done. Lechlotz means to take off a shoe. It's a ceremony where they say, proclaim that he does not want to marry her, and the shoe is taken off. Traditionally, that shoe has to belong to him, as the Gemara Yevamos in the 12th Perek describes on Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph, as well as it's supposed to be done on the right shoe. We learned in the Mishnah what happens if there are details that are missing in the Chalitza. Chalitza b'sandal sheinu shelo, the Chalitza was done with a sandal that he doesn't own. B'sandal shel eitz, or it's of wood, while it was supposed to be of leather. O shel smol b'yamin, or the sandal that was put on the right foot was really one that belongs to be on left foot. Chalitza k'sher, the Chalitza works. V'arminan mantana. And we want to know who is the Tana that says in such a case it's acceptable. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel taught Rabbi Meiri. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Disnan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Hakiteya, here in Shabbos Samachei Amabez, Yotze Bikav Shalo Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi Oser, that someone who is handicapped is allowed to go out with his stump on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Meir. So what do we see? That according to Rabbi Meir, it is normal for a person to wear a wooden shoe. A kiteya wears a wooden shoe, and he's allowed to go out with it. And who was the one who said this? The one who said this was Shmuel. So we see from here that Shmuel ultimately came around and learned, like our Girsa, which states that Rabbi Meir is the one who says one is allowed to go out, as opposed to the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara continues, Va'af Rav Huna hadabo, and so too was Rav Huna was also Choyzer. Desanya, as we learned in Brisa, Sandin Shel Sayodin. If you have a sandal that's made for people who sell lime, they would use, Rashi explains specifically, a sandal that was made out of wood, because the lime that they would sell would destroy leather. Tamei medras, it contracts the tumah of medras, just like feet. We've spoken in the past, tumas medras being that if something a person normally walks on or sits on, if the individual becomes a zav or a zava, contracts tumas medras. So the sayod, if he became tamei zav, it would give, the tumah would be given to his shoe, but not only his shoe, even his sandal of wood. The isha choletzespo, and a woman can also do chalitza with it. It's considered a shoe for that as well. The yotzim b'shabbos divrei Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that it qualifies even as a shoe for Shabbos as well. However, the Braisa concludes, v'lo hodulo, that they did not concede to Rebbe Akiva. They didn't accept this position. So this is a discussion Tosefta and Kelim, as well as Masoros HaShas points out to Mishnah in Edios, in Perek Bey's Mishnah Ches. There is an opinion that says it qualifies as a shoe, however, it wasn't accepted. V'atanya, but there's another Braisa to say, hodulo, that they did accept Rabbi Akiva's position. So in regards to the stira, Rav Huna added, Amar Rav Huna man hodulo, Rav Huna said, what does it mean that they were modat him? Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir conceded. Uman lo hodulo, Rabbi Yossi. And the one who didn't concede was Rabbi Yossi. So we see exactly like the girsa that we have in our Mishnah, and that is that Rabbi Meir conceded. That's considered a full-fledged shoe. However, Rabbi Yossi rejected that. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef man lo hodulo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Rav Yosef had a different tradition and says that what it means that he wasn't moda, that's referring to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Disnan, as we learned in the Mishnah, kaver shel kas v'shefoferes shel kanim. If you have a beehive that was made out of straw and a tube that was made out of wood, Rabbi Akiva says contracts tumah, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri disagrees and holds that it's tahar. Why is it tahar according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Because a wooden reed is normally not used, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. It's not normal to make utensils from it. Therefore, what will come out is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri presumably would say the same thing in regards to shoes as well. Period. Amar mar, sandal shel sayodin tamei medras. If you have the sandal of the lime sellers, so then we mentioned it contracts tuma. Halavli luche avdi, asks the Gemara, in order to be Tamei Tumas Medras, it needs to be used normally to walk on. And wood is not used to walk on. They're not made to walk on. Amaravacha baravula, shekein hasayid mitayl boy achimagia lebeso. The lime seller does walk in it until he reaches his house. Hence, when he wears it, it's going to be mekabel tuma, as we mentioned above, as well as it could be used for chalitza, and one could go out with it on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Akiva, and some say that Reb Meir holds that way as well. The Gemara continues 7 lines from the bottom, analyzing the top part of our Mishnah on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, that if you have a stump for a person who does not have a leg, if along with it is made crevices that can hold items of clothing, it contracts to Amar Abayit, Tamei Tumas Meis ve'eim Tamei Tumas Medras. In such a case, those stumps would contract Tumas Meis, but not Tumas Medras. Rashi points out that we're not only talking about Tumas Meis, we're talking about other Tumas as well, but the Chiddush over here is it does not contract Tumas Medras, and the reason it does not is because these stumps are not made for the individual to lean on. These stumps that are made with the bas kibul are made for as a tachshit to make the individual look more pleasant. Amar Abaye tamei tumas meis ve'me tamei tumas medras. Rava Amar af tamei medras. Rava holds that it is considered made for leaning on because at some times he used it to lean as well. Therefore, that would be enough to contract tumah. It seems like the machlokas would be, what happens if you have something that every once in a while is used for tuma and every once in a while not? Do we say in such a case that it contracts tuma, or since it's not often used for medras, it's not enough to contract the tuma? On my Rava, Minoah Minolah, says Rava, how do I know this opinion, that it would be considered something that contracts tuma? This time we learned, Agola Shel Katan, if there is a wagon that is made for a child to play with, so then tmeya medras, then it contracts tuma. What do we see? Even though the child often uses the wagon, think of a simple child's wagon that on the one hand the child could sit, on the other hand often it has a rod and the child puts things in it and drags it along, but sometimes children also sit in it. So the Mishnah says in Beitza that it contracts Tumah, because sometimes a child sits in it. Abaye says the reason there it contracts Tumah is because there the child entirely
leans inside of it.
However, when it comes to these kabim, these special kabim that are made with a base kibul, they're not made for a person to lean on it. And then even if he does walk on it a little, he doesn't put his entire weight on it. How do I know, says Abaye, that this would not contract tumah? Disnanya, as we learned in a brisa, makol shel zakenim. If one, we're talking about a cane, tar mikula. We learned in a brisa that it doesn't contract tumah. We don't consider it something that the zakein walks on, or leans on, or sits on, that you it should contract tumas medras. Rashi explains that since the individual is walking on his own, we do not consider it lismicha of it, that the cane is used to be leaned on. Rashi, of course, is bothered, but at the end of the day, we know that an elderly person does lean on the cane. So Rashi explains that since it's done every once in a while, it's not considered enough for it to be considered a kli sha'osui lismach alav. How is Rava, who says that something that's used periodically to lean on does contract tumah, how is he going to explain the fact that the makal shel zakenim does not contract tumah? Rava hasam continues the Gemara in Talmud Beis, the tirutze sugya avida. Over there, when it comes to the cane, the elderly gentleman or gentlewoman uses it to straighten out their steps, but not to straighten out their entire body, or to lean their entire body on it. Here, when it comes to the individual without legs who's using the stumps, there, even though it's primarily used to be a base kibul, nevertheless, since he sometimes uses it, then that's enough to contract tumas medras. The Mishnah continued, Tmei medras vein yosem ben b'shabes vein nechnasim bohen la'azara. That line in the Mishnah was referring to a kisei, what we would conventionally call a wheelchair, that it contracts tumas medras, and one is not allowed to go out with it in Shabbos, and one cannot take into the azara. Tani tanik med Rabbi Yochanan nichnasin b'hen ba'azara. Rabbi Yochanan heard from one of the chacham that one can go into azara. Amalei ani shone isha choletzis ba va'at amrit nichnasin. Rabbi Yochanan says, I had taught that I had learned that the halacha is that it could be used for chalitza, that these supports on the legs are enough for chalitza. So we see that's considered a sandal. Va'ata amarta nichnasin, and you said you could go into the azara with something that halachically is considered a na'al for chalitza. Tani, we learned a nichnasin ba'azara. You're not allowed to go into the azara with it. It's considered a shoe. Luktamin, we had learned in the Mishnah, is considered tahara. The Gemara immediately asks, what is that? My luktamin, Amar Rabbi Avo, chamra de achfa, a wooden donkey. Some of it was made in the image of a donkey. Rav Papa Amar kshire, Rav Papa says they are considered stilts. Think of today, stilts that clowns and children walk on. Rami Baravuna Amar Prami. Rami Baravuna says a mask, and when we learned our Mishnah, that's how we translated it. We continue with the next Mishnah on the first wide line in Samech Vav Amid Beis. Habanin Yotzin Biksharim. Sons are allowed to go out with knots. What these knots are that are tied around their necks, we will get to in the Gemara immediately. Ubnei Melachim Bezugim. And the children of kings are allowed to go out with bells, because that was considered a noy to announce the coming of royalty. V'chol Adam, El Shadibur Chacham Behove, and really all people are allowed to go out, both Biksharim and Wizugim. However, the Chachamim spoke about what was most normal. Mike Sharim, what are these knots that one's children are allowed to go out with? Amar Ada Mari, Amar of Nachman Bar Baruch, Amar of Ashi Bar Avin, Amar of Yehuda, Kshurei Pua. These are knots of grass that are called pua, that were hung around a person's neck. And there was some type of refua that was associated with it. Amar Baya, Amrali Aim, my mother told me, Tlasa Mukmi, to put three knots of the grass on six person, v'chamisha masu,
and five, heal them. In other words, if you put three, so then it's mukmi, it's maintained. If you want it to be healed, five. Shiva afilu kshafin maile. And if you put seven knots, it prevents even for unnatural diseases, and that is for witch against kshafim, demons. Amar Ravacha bar Yaakov, v'hu d'lo chazile. Ravacha bar Yaakov says that this works only if these things don't see shimsha v'sihara, the sun and the moon. V'lo chazi mitra, as well as the chola does not see rain. V'lo shmi'ale kol barzla, and he doesn't hear the sound of steel. V'kol tarnigol, and the sound of a rooster. V'kol nigri, and the sound of steps. This all is hard to understand because we don't understand kshafim today. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Nafal Pusa Bibira, you could take this and throw it into a bar because it's not effective. It seems like Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was rejecting this whole form of remedy. Put a period. Ma'ir Yabanim asks the Gemara, our Mishnah said the Banim could go out with these Ksharm if it's believed that they have medicinal, remedial effect. Why it says specifically sons? Afil Banis Nami. Ma'ir Yaktanim Afil Kdolim Nami. And also for that matter, why only children, even adults as well? Ella Mike Sharim. Rather, the Gemara says, we must say, what does it mean, Ksharim? It is the subject of our Mishnah. It's something different. It's talking about a case of the following. A child wants to be with his child. In other words, a father has a child that wants to stay with him, and the father needs to separate. He needs to go somewhere. So what was done in those days of Ben Jeshel Gaguin Al Aviv? Noto Ritzua Miminol Shel Yamin. They would take a shoelace from the right shoe, Vikoshelo Bismolo, and they would tie it on the left hand of the child. Again, this is a koach that we're not aware of. Incidentally, this probably is the closest that I'm aware of that we have in the Gemara to the idea of tying a red bindle that some have gotten into. This could very well be that it started out with this phenomenon of the ksharim, at least this opinion of in the Gemara of what ksharim are. Amar Nachman Yitzchak v'simonecha, and the simin of how to remember how this is supposed to be put on. Tefillin, you should remember tefillin, and that is that it's put on the left hand. Bechilufa, and also keep in mind, if you mix it up, in other words, we had said you're supposed to take something from the right shoe and tie it on the left hand. If you took from the left shoe and tie it on the right hand, sakanta, it will, chas v'chalila, produce a sakana. Now that the Gemara has been discussing the halachos of refuah, in terms of practice, the Gemara now discusses the halachos of refuah in terms of hilchos Shabbos. Amar Avin bar Huna, Amar Avchama bar Gurya, sichufei kasa atibure b'shabasa, turning over a hot cup that had hot water on it, which has steam that's still coming out, on Shabbos is going to be acceptable. And the reason that's acceptable is because it is a refuah. The Miri writes that even though many medications are prohibited because of gzeras chikas samimanim, over here Chazal did not make the gzera. His lashon is she'ena refuas samanin shenigzer balas chikas samanim. It is not the gzera of chika of samanim, spices that were normally a crush that we're afraid you're going to come to crush, is not at all this medicine, and therefore the halacha of gzeres chika sammanim does not apply to this to this remedy. Va'amar Avin bar Huna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gur, similarly matulosach shemen umelach b'shabbos, you're allowed to anoint with oil and to put salt on something on Shabbos. Ki hada Rav Huna mi bei Rav, v'Rav mi bei Rav Chia mi bei Rav, kave mivsemi mayesi mishcha umilcha v'shayfuli liguyusa. That when they had had too much to drink, remember in those days wine was almost a staple, they would apply oil and salt to their palms. The Amri, and they would say, Keheicho detzilom mishcha, just like the oil would become liquidy, it would spread out based on, due to the body heat, litzel chamra deplanya bar planisa. So too, the wine should spread out and lose its effect when it's on that person. Vilo, they didn't have those things. Yavi, maisi shia didona, they would bring a cover of a flask. Vishari le bimaya, they would soak it in water. Vame kehecha delitzel haisha, just like this plug of the vat has become clear due to the water there. Litzel chamre de planya bar planya. So too, the wine should become clear and be fleshed out. The Gemara continues, V'amar oven bar huna amar of chama bar guya, mutter lechanik b'shabbis. Someone who has had a sickness spread through their neck and into their throat. So then it's mutter on Shabbos to put this remedy around their throat, and they would wrap it around as if they were choking the throat. Va'amar avin bar huna amar av chama bar gufya leipupe yunuka b'shabbis. To wrap around the pufi are the limbs of a child on Shabbos to straighten them out. Shapir dummy, that would be acceptable. In generations, different generations, they had different customs, but there was always a way of bending the limbs of children, which are a lot easier to bend into a proper shape than when children get older. When I was a child, I was a little bow-legged, and my mother, got may she be well, got me shoes to correct that bow-leggedness, a special orthopedic shoe. So in those days, they didn't have orthopedic shoes, but the doctors then would tie the limb in a particular way that would slowly bend it back in the right direction. The Gemara now has a suffix whether this last halacha was said in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guryu or not. Rav Papa Masni Banim. Rav Papa taught these teachings about children in the name of Avin Bar Huna. Rav Zvid, Masni Ben. He would only learn the last one in the name of Avin Bar Huna. Rav Papa Masni Banim. Rav Papa learned Banim. Vitarvayu Masnilu, to say that both of these teachings were learned Ba'avin Bar Huna in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Rav Zvid Masni Ben. Rav Zvid learned specifically the last case, Kamaisa Masni Ba'avin Bar Huna, to teach us that only the halacha about the child that we learned all the way above, that's Miskagei Ala Aviv, was said in the name of Avin Bar Huna. Vahai Masni Birava Barachana, Dam Rabba Barachana, Lipupe Yanka B'Shabbis, Shapir Dami. But the other halacha was not quoted from Avin Bar Huna in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya, but rather that was taught in the name of Rabba Barachana. The Gemara now returns back to these ties that we had mentioned all the way in the beginning of the Gemara of grass that Abaye had learned from his mother how to do, and Abaye taught something else from his mother. Amar Abaye Amarli, my mother taught me, call minyana, all of the above mentioned refuos of tying, bishma di'ima. You should mention the schus of the mother who taught it to you. Now, as part of the refuah is to say the source of the remedy and his mother. V'chol kitre, and all of the ksharim that are made l'refua, bismala, should be done with the left hand. V'amar Abaye Amar Liyem, and Abaye also said, I heard from my mother, kol minyan in mefarshi, all of the above mentioned refuas, kin mefarshi. You should repeat the statement that you need to say as was taught, but if they didn't say how many times, you should say it, arboin v'chadzimna, you should say it 41 times. The significance of this, in terms of this koach of refuah that Abaye reports from his mother, I don't know if we have a tradition for it today. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Samach Vav in the Gemara and Rashi. We'll pick up tomorrow Be'ezer Hashem, 10 lines from the bottom on Samach Vav Amid Beis. And tomorrow will be the last day in Perek Bame'isha. And then we start the very important Perek, Perek Klal Gadol. We now go on to the Halacha section.
Be'ezrat Hashem Yisbarech, our Halacha topic from Daf Samach Vav emerges from the last line of the Gemara on Samach Vav Amid Aleph, talking about the Cain of a Zakein. The Gemara tells us that the cane of an elderly person does not contract tumah because it's not considered a kli. And Rashi in the Ramaskar Torah Mikulam says that the reason that it's not considered a kli is because the zakein doesn't entirely lean on it. Rather, the utensil is only used, as the Gemara spells out in the next few lines, to straighten out his steps. And since it's to straighten out his steps, the Gemara on the top of Samach Vavam Bey says, it's not considered a utensil. Our halacha topic for today is, when is it permissible for someone to use a cane on Shabbos? Is it? And when is it not? Just like the Gemara by us does not consider the cane a utensil for Tumah V'Tahara, the Gemara echoes this idea in Maseches Beitza on Daf Chaf Hei Mabez, where the Gemara says that a blind person cannot go out with a cane because he can walk without one. Again, we're not getting yet to Halacha L'Maisa. This is just a description of the Gemara. The rationale to this Halacha, as given by the Rosh in Beitza in Simin Hei, in Perek Ein Sadin, is going to be critical to halacha, and that is it's efshelo below makil. He's able to walk without a cane, which might infer, as we will see in later poskim, that if he cannot walk without a cane, that would be permissible. That's exactly what we saw in our sugya by the kiteya, someone who needs stumps to walk if, God forbid, he does not have legs. If the only way for him to walk is with a stick, so then in such a case, the stump will be permissible for him to use. Similarly, we're now ready to go in Shulchan Aruch to Simen Shinayim Aleph Sif Yud Zayin. Chiger, a lame person, She'ena yochol leilech below makel, who cannot walk without a stick, muter leilech bo, afilu eina kosher bo. He's allowed to walk with it even if it's not timed him. Aval im efsher lo levesulaso ve'eina noto el lahachzik atzmo asur. But if he's able to go with it, but it sturdies him, but he would be able to walk without it, so then in such a case, it's going to be asur. The seifa of this halacha emerges beautifully with the Gemara that we had. And that is, the Gemara said that to sturdy oneself is not going to turn the cane that a person uses into a kli. For that reason as well, it will not be considered a utensil. Similarly, it is not considered something that is necessary, absolutely, as part of an individual's dress, to be considered like a shoe, just like the stumps are considered the shoe for an amputated person. However, we could deduce the other, of course, as well, as the Shulchan Aruch says. And that is, that if a person cannot walk without a cane at all, so then it has a din of a na'al, as a din of a shoe. Says the Mishnah Brura in Simin Shin Aleph Siv Katan Samach Talit, V'chein Zakein Aholech Bebeiso Belo Makel. If there's an elderly person that walks in his house without a stick, Ukeshiyotze V'chutz Nishan Al Maklo Machmas Tashus Kocho, Ve'ena Notzol El Lahachzik Atzmo. Notice again the expression Hachzik Atzmo, which emerges directly from the expression on the Gemara, Litirutze Sugya Avida, on the top of Samach Vav Amid Beis, that the stick is just being used to straighten his walk, Alfal Pishagufa Misnanea Osir, even if his body falls a little bit out of balance, it's still going to be Osir, Dahave Hamakul Etzloi Kimasui. because the cane is considered vis-a-vis him like a weight, not a na'al. Why? Kivan de beso holich b'leon makel, because he goes in his house without a stick. Avon hiskin kol kach the yevshel holich klal b'li makel mutar. But if he's so dependent on the cane that he only walks with the cane, almost always walks only with the cane, in such a case, it's considered like a na'al. There is a very important tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein in Orech Chaim Chelek Dalet Simin Tzadi that writes the following. Just like we say that someone who doesn't need it in a house cannot carry it in the Rishus HaRabim, that means that he normally would not use it for this type of walk. However, what happens if you have an elderly person that would not use a cane to walk in his house because it's a short distance, but for a longer distance they would use a cane? If they are walking in a Rishus HaRabim for a longer distance, Rav Moshe says the halacha is that it's going to be permissible. Maybe Rav Moshe is not arguing with the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case of where he's walking an equal distance. However, if he's walking a longer distance and would be normal for him to take the cane, in such a case, Rav Moshe says it has a din of a na'al. Similarly, there might be room to argue, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, that if a person knows that there's an individual who will only walk up steps with a cane, even though outside they could walk without a cane, maybe Rav Moshe also would say that it is permissible. The Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchas on Perek Yuches Ha'ara Nuntes is Mesupak about this from our great Grand Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. It is quoted in the name of Rav Nissen Karelitz that if for health reasons he needs to walk with a cane, even though technically he could balance himself without it, but he would not walk without a cane, the Chut Shani is quoted in Dirshu Mishnah Berurah as saying in Perek Pei Ches of Chelek Dalid that it would be permissible. So the big Mar Mokum over here is Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal's tshuva. I haven't had the opportunity to discuss this with Rav Nevinzal, how Rav Shlomo Zalman Suffolk would relate to Rav Moshe's heter. There is one more fascinating application that we do have from Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Tes, as well as in Chelek Beis Simin Yudches, in regards to walking out, not with a cane, but with something else that one might argue can be like a cane where a person cannot walk. And that is, what about an individual walking out with an hearing aid? In an instance where the individual does not hear, and he or she might say that without it, they would never walk outside because of the fear of going around without being able to hear at all. Rav Shlomo Zalman here is Mekel. For someone who cannot hear at all, that they could go out with a hearing aid, because just like the makel is considered like the na'al, or the foot of the chiyer, so too, when it comes to the hearing aid, it becomes the ear of the person himself. It's quoted in the name of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank that Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal's analogy, one could differentiate between the two. And that is, our Gemara allows going out with a makel because the makel is there for helping the actual walking itself. It becomes like the na'al or the regel of the person. However, the hearing aid is not part of the etzem halicha to say that it becomes part and parcel of the person himself. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman's chiddush is that to walk, you also need a sense of balance, and v'ameivin yavin, the ears are also important for the sense of balance and other things, and therefore, walking is, if you will, a holistic experience, and for that reason, if someone who cannot hear at all and would not want to walk without being able to hear, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal was mechadesh that the hearing aid could also fall into the same category of the makel and the kavayim of the amputated person. This Beis Hashem concludes the halacha topic from Daf Samach Vov.